me for the reading of God's Word this morning. The heart of what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart to bring this morning is worship. Worship. And I believe this is one of those messages that He's given me this week. I'll probably be preaching it in a couple of places. I believe it's something He wants, as I'm going to be ministering outside of our local body in some upcoming events, I believe it's a message He's laid on my heart to preach it externally. And of course, it's centered on the cross of Christ, but the theme of the message is worship. Leviticus chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Going on to chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of playing with fire. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the presence of Your wonderful Holy Spirit that we have sensed. Lord, today I ask in the name of Jesus, as I feel His power fall, and even now, I believe this is a special message You've given today. Help me to preach it, Lord, and exactly as You want it preached. Lord, help me to preach it in a way and anoint me to preach it in a way that it would be clear and bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross, and that it would be a blessing and an instruction to Your people to help them in their walk with You and to give them a greater degree of discernment. And Lord, I'll not fail to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever You do this day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So many times when we think of worshiping God, we think of it as something we just do on Sunday morning. We call it, even in our services, praise and worship. There's a big difference between the two. The praise of Almighty God is something we set aside a time to do. But worship of Almighty God is something that goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want you to think of that. The Holy Spirit told me to stress that point. Worship is not something we just do on Sunday morning. Worship is what we are for God. 24/7, 365. I want to take you back for just a moment to the Old Testament tabernacle when God had commanded and given clear instruction to Israel on how they were to approach Him and how He was to be worshipped. And an element of that worship was the offering and the continual burning of incense in front of the Holy of Holies. As that sweet-smelling savor ignited on the altar of incense from the burnt offering, which was a type of the cross of Christ, that fragrance would go up unto the Lord and ascend unto the Lord. It was a type of worship. It was to be burning perpetually, always being offered up. Our lives for Jesus Christ are to be that way. A sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord God, always offering up worship unto Him. So I pray that maybe that's not a revelation to everybody, but it's something that the Holy Spirit told me to stress. Worship is not something we do. Worship is what we are for the Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, the worship has always been a great source of controversy. Let me take you back for just a moment to the first murder in history. It was over how to worship. The first murder ever committed in the history of man was over how to worship God. God had clearly instructed Adam and Eve and their offspring on how he was to be approached, how he was to be worshiped. And Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, were trained explicitly in what God required when he was to be worshiped. But we know that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought one of his animals. That was what God required. Cain offered up the fruit of the ground, symbolizing what man could produce, what man could bring about. Clearly, God rejected Cain's offering, refused it. But the Bible says he had respect unto Abel and his offering. What does that mean? There had to be some type of clear delineation from God that what Cain offered was acceptable. And I'll tell you what that was. Fire fell from heaven in the form of a lightning strike to ignite the fire on Abel's altar, where he offered what God required, blood sacrifice. Blood sacrifice. Cain's offering did not produce a response from God, because God will not honor that which is not true worship, which is not offered up through faith in his prescribed order and his system. And his system forevermore is Christ and him crucified. That was the basis of all worship in the Old Testament. It's the basis of all worship in the New Testament. Faith must be exhibited in some form or fashion in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, or else it won't be acceptable to God. That whatever's being offered, no matter how pretty it may look, no matter how orderly it may seem, if it is not what God has demanded, it will not be accepted by God. And when Cain saw that his system of worship was unacceptable to God, he went and killed his brother because he was so angry over it. Think of that. The first murder in history was over how to worship God, when God had given a clear writ on what he demanded and what he required. So much so that it inspired hatred in the heart of Cain when he saw what I can produce and what I can make happen is not acceptable to God. And that is exactly the message that God is still saying to the modern church today. What you can produce and what you can bring about is not acceptable to me. If it has its origin in man, if it's instituted by man, it will be unacceptable to Almighty God. God only accepts what he provides. And he has provided one way, one method, and that is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is the only thing that stands between you and I and the eternal judgment of God. Man hates that message. Man wants to believe that I can create a system of worship that is just as good as God's system. I want to take you now to our text this morning. Beginning in Leviticus chapter 9, we read that when the sacrifice was laid on that brazen altar, which was a type of the cross of Christ, set in the forefront of the just before you would go in to the most holy place in the tabernacle, that burnt offering, that sacrifice that was laid on it, was a type of Christ giving his life for you and I. And when it was offered up properly in accordance with God's instruction, fire fell from heaven again. A lightning bolt hit that sacrifice on the brazen altar and ignited the fire. That was God's fire. That's God's fire. Something you and I need to know, it's a beautiful truth. The fire of God, which represents God's judgment, is going to fall. Hear what I'm saying right now. You may think that you're getting by with sin and that you're not going to suffer any penalty from living a sinful life and rejecting Jesus Christ. Just because God is delaying his judgment against you does not mean it's not coming. It will surely come. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. The Holy Ghost just hit me and said, press that. The judgment of Almighty God will ultimately fall on all sin. Hear what I'm saying. He will not wink at it. He will not turn his head from it. All sin will somehow suffer the judgment of a holy, righteous, almighty, all-knowing God. It will happen. But here's the beauty of what Christ did for us on the cross. You can choose on whether the judgment is going to fall on you as an individual or where it's going to fall on the sacrifice. That's what that fire from heaven represented when it hit the brazen altar here in this text we read this morning. Why do you think the people shouted? The Bible says that when fire hit that brazen altar, which was lightning in effect, it came out from the Holy of Holies, shot directly out of the Holy of Holies into that brazen altar and ignited a fire. That was God igniting the fire. That was God saying, I find your sacrifice acceptable. And rather than sending my judgment to fall upon you, I'll let it fall on the sacrifice. My Lord, what a picture of Calvary that is. What a picture of Calvary that is. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Because the judgment that should have fallen on you and I fell on the Son of Almighty God that day on the top of Calvary's hill. That should have been our cross. It should have been our crown of thorns. It should have been our blood that had to be shed. But our blood would not have been good enough because He was perfect. He did no wrong. And He willingly took our place and took upon Himself the judgment of God against sin, though He knew no sin. And that's the choice mankind still has today. The judgment of God is going to fall. It's going to fall. My Lord, the Holy Ghost is telling me, press that hard. God is going to judge sin. You won't get away with it forever. You may think you are. And living a life of sin bears horrible consequences. Sin always has a penalty to it in and of itself. But I'm talking about eternal judgment of God. It's going to fall. It's coming. But the choice mankind has is, will it fall on me, or will I place my faith in the sacrifice that's been provided for me where the judgment's already fallen? Let me press that and make it clear. Your choice is, will you stand before a holy God saying, I don't need Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. I can stand before you on my own. You'll die and face eternal damnation if you do that. But if you turn to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I deserved what you took. God, I deserve the judgment that fell on your Son. But would you forgive me and by faith in His precious blood cleanse my sin? And let the judgment that should have fallen on me, will you accept what He did for me? God will always say yes to that prayer. God will never turn you away if you have a repentant heart. He will never turn His back on any sinner who comes to Him with brokenness saying, I deserve your judgment. That's why the people shouted that day that the fire hit that altar, because they realized that fire should have been falling on us. But because we worshiped Him in the way He's told us to worship, we have averted His judgment, and His judgment has fallen on the sacrifice, and He's counting us as being acceptable unto Him. My Lord, what a beautiful thing that is. And that's why the people shouted that day. You know, Brother Chris, you lead in praise and worship now, and Michelle too, she helps out a lot and does a wonderful job too. I'm glad they understand something when they're up there. I'm so glad it blesses me, and I know y'all understand this. They understand that our job is not to put on a show. Our job is to worship Almighty God. Our job is to give praise unto the One and to hold up and honor the sacrifice on which the judgment has already fallen, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that should make us shout, my Lord, if you need a certain kind of song sung in a certain kind of way to get you excited when you come to church, you need to get back to the cross. Because let me tell you, when I walked in there, it was a little bit late this morning. But when I walked in, I was ready to go. It didn't really matter much what they were singing. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want no wild and crazy stuff being sung. But I'm talking about, I didn't care if it was Amazing Grace or one of the songs they sang this morning. It was glorifying the sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That's all I need. That's all I need, because every time my mind goes to what he did for me on the cross, I want to shout. Hallelujah, I understand that judgment should have fallen on me, but he took my place, hallelujah. He took my place. That makes me want to praise him. That makes me want to shout. That makes me want to give him glory. Here we go now, we're going into Leviticus 10. The church has lost its fear of Almighty God. No longer is God feared by the church. He's looked upon as some kindly old grandfather who's just there to dole out gifts and to accept anything we want to throw up to him. You're a fool if you believe that. You're a fool if you believe that and you have no understanding of the holiness of the cross of Christ. You see, that was Nadab and Abihu's problem. That fire that had fallen in chapter 9 and hit the sacrifice, it was ignited by Almighty God. You need to see that in what I'm preaching today. That fire was ignited and instituted by God. Man had nothing to do with it. If it's going to be a real move of God, a real move of the Holy Spirit, it's the same way today. There's nothing we can do to affect it. All we can do is believe and allow him to sovereignly move. But so many in the church world today are just like Nadab and Abihu, whose names, and incidentally, Nadab means liberal, and Abihu means worshiper. Liberal worshiper. Now, there's nothing wrong with liberal in amount of worship. As I said, we should be worship. Our lives are worship unto God, and should be a sweet smelling savor unto him. If our faith is in the cross, our lives are a sweet-smelling savor unto him. But Nadab and Abihu, liberal worshipers, let me bring out some things about them. They were the sons of Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. Only Aaron was the one who should have been authorized to carry fire, taken off of that brazen altar into the Holy of Holies to ignite that incense, which was a type of worship going up all the time. But Nadab and Abihu looked upon their father's priestly office, the honor of it, and they looked upon the fire of the brazen altar. And I'm going to tell you what they thought. They thought, we can kindle a fire of our own making that's just as good as that when it's on the brazen altar. And so they set out to do that. And they did it. They kindled themselves a fire. And to the natural eye, there would have been no difference looking at it. There would have been no difference between the fire that came off of that brazen altar and the fire that Nadab and Abihu had kindled. They would have looked exactly the same. But the difference, one was ignited by God, the other was ignited by man. It's a major difference. It's a major difference. And they attempted then to go in and take their fire and reignite, or to make sure it was maintained ignited, that altar of incense in the Holy of Holies. And the very second they did it, the same lightning that ignited the brazen altar sacrifice in chapter 9 struck Nadab and Abihu and killed him dead on the spot. That's always the result of trying to offer up worship outside of God's prescribed order. Death. Death. You may think, well, if you're not serving God, well, I'm not dying. Oh, yes, you are. You're dead where you're sitting this morning. If when Ephesians 2, when the Apostle Paul was talking about the great transformation that had taken place in the lives of the believers there, He said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning and your faith is not in His shed blood and what He did for you at the cross, you're dead spiritually where you're sitting and you're on your way to an eternal judgment of God. But Nadab and Abihu, like so many in the church, think we can create a fire that's just as good as God's fire. We don't need Him. Let me be more specific in that. We no longer need the cross to create an ignited fire, which is a type of the flow of the Holy Spirit also. We can create one that's just as good. Now let me get real specific here right now. Now what I say with love. God and His attitude toward worship has not changed throughout the entirety of His Word. He clearly outlines what He will accept and what He won't accept. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to get evangelistic. You have these things in the church. First, I'm going to hit the church because the church should know better. You have these things in the church called the Dove Awards, where they hand out prizes for singing the best song of the year, selling the most albums. They might as well call them the Buzzard Awards, because the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. You watch that show, you say, how do you know? It's strange fire. It's strange fire. I don't care what they're singing about. They may be mentioning Jesus. But you watch that show, and it's all about the flesh of man. It's all about glorifying flesh. If Jesus gets any attention at all, it's in passing. And I'm telling you, things like that are strange fire, and the church is full of them. And Almighty God is going to send forth judgment upon it, just like He did upon Nadab and Abihu. He is holy. And the only way we can approach Him is through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He will not honor man's accomplishments. He will not honor man's accomplishments. And don't worry, it's equal opportunity. I'm probably going to make everybody mad before we leave here today. But the Lord told me to preach this, so you all know me. When I get it from Him, I'm going to do it. I've always feared Him a lot more than I have any man, because He's taught me this. You can have the whole world mad at you and wanting to kill you and run you out of town. But if you got His amen and you did what He told you to do, in the end, you're going to come out and you're going to come out good. You can't borrow the music of the world and bring it into the church. You can't take rap music, and Mike, you know what I'm talking about, and bring it into the body of Christ, because rap music had its origin in hell. And it's strange fire if you try to bring something like that into the church, because it's not God instituted. Oh, let me just make everybody mad. It's the same with country music. Just because it's in a different key does not make it any difference at all. You can't bring steel guitars and whining into the church like you're singing in some backwoods bar and call it worship. It's strange fire. You can't bring in rock music into the church and have laser light shows. Show me that in the New Testament. If you're mad at me now, I'm sorry. But if you'll show me this type of worship in the New Testament, I'll publicly repent and say I'm wrong. But I know I'm not. It's not there. And in our attempts to reach the world in the church, we have forsaken the cross of Christ. And we have adopted the methods of the world. And it's strange fire before God. And it's going to bring spiritual death to everybody who follows it. It's going to bring spiritual death. God's going to judge it. Of all the fearful aspects of God's judgment, listen to me closely now. Do you know the most fearful? And there's a lot of ways God can judge sin. But do you know, to me, the most fearful thing God can do? And He does it. And it's just a sure form of His judgment as the fire killing Nadab and Abihu. He refuses to send the Holy Spirit into churches who won't worship through faith in the cross. That judgment scares me to death. Because without the Holy Spirit, we get nothing from God. You need to know that. Without the Holy Spirit, we receive no blessing. We receive no gifts. Without the Holy Spirit, there can be no real praise or no real worship. And when a church refuses, and a people refuse to look to the fire off of the brazen altar and try to kindle one of their own, God removes the Holy Spirit from that group of people. Why do you think that King David, when he had sinned so horribly, and he's repenting in the 51st Psalm, and he cries out to God, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David knew that was the most horrible thing that could happen in a person's life, is to lose the presence of God operating in their life. The church doesn't see it that way, though, by and large, these days. They're so busy offering up strange fire, that which man has instituted, that which is man-made, that which brings glory and honor to man. And God is sending forth judgment on it by removing His Holy Spirit from churches and people who insist on having that style of worship where man is glorified. I'm here to tell you, I believe as much as anybody as dancing in the Holy Ghost. But I do not believe in this stench where you sit down weeks and days before and choreograph out your dance and call that spirit dancing. It's strange fire. It's strange fire. And God is not pleased with it, and it will not be accepted as worship, and it will not be anointed by the Holy Spirit because it's man instituted. God will not allow the Holy Spirit to touch anything that's man instituted. God will only allow the Holy Spirit to be associated with that which has at the center of it Christ and Him crucified. Anything else is strange fire. Hear me on that this morning. You missed a great chance to say amen there, but I feel heaven's amen on it. If it's not of the cross, it is rejected by God. And the Holy Spirit is removed. That should send bone chills through every believer. See, we can't be casual. This worship is a serious thing. It's deadly serious because it's what we are for God. Hear that. It's not just something you come in and do on Sunday morning. You're worshiping God when Jesus shines through you on the job and others see Jesus in you and how you act and how you live your life and how you conduct your affairs. That's worship. You're worshiping God when they see Jesus in us. It's not just something we do on Sunday morning. And if the sacrifice is right, that worship will be in your life 24/7, 365. You know what I'm talking about. You can be around somebody 2 or 3 minutes, not even that long, and you can tell right away if they're a believer or not. Why? The Holy Spirit in you is the Holy Spirit that's in them, and there's an instant witness bearing that goes on. You can tell immediately. I'm going to take you one step further. The world can tell immediately if that presence of the Holy Spirit is there, as it's played out in your worship, in your everyday life, as you keep your faith in Christ and Him crucified. When Nadab and Abihu kindled that fire, that's what made it so bad. You may read that story and heard the text this morning. You think, that's pretty harsh of God to strike two guys dead just for building a little fire. No, no, no. It went much deeper than that. And that's what the modern church world does not understand. They think they can worship without the cross of Christ. That's the ultimate sin that Nadab and Abihu committed. We can worship without the cross, and we can produce just as good a presence of the Holy Spirit as God can without using His holy fire taken off of the brazen altar. I know this is heavy duty this morning, but I can't apologize for it. It's what the Lord told me to preach, and I feel His pleasure in preaching it. And all of this stuff, all of this silly flag waving, all of this silly choreographed dancing, all of this silly flashing of laser lights, all of these silly songs borrowed from the world that give Jesus Christ and his cross no glory, that have their origin, in fact, in hell itself, and the church hands out awards for this kind of thing. The supposed church hands out awards for this kind of thing. Let me tell you something. You don't need to plan no event when the Holy Spirit is there, because he makes Jesus Christ the event. You should have said a stronger amen in that. I love you to pieces, but you missed another great chance to say an amen. You know, I'm going to borrow a phrase. I've never liked it, but today I believe it's applicable. I'm preaching a whole lot better than y'all are letting on this morning. But I believe it's provoking you to think, so that's a good thing. In this last days, with so many offering up strange fire, there's a lost and dying world out there that needs people and churches that have the real fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Spirit sweeping over this place like a wave with that statement. He's looking for people and churches that he can use that won't be given an alcoholic a 12-step strange fire program. They'll give that poor alcoholic a one-step Christ program where he can immediately be delivered and transformed by the power of God. The church must fall back in love with Jesus Christ and what he did for them at the cross. And the church must forsake its love affair with the world system. As long as we're in love with the world, we're not worshiping God. Now, as I begin to close, bear in mind, Nadab and Abihu's fire, to the natural eye, looked just like the fire that had come off of the brazen altar. They were indistinguishable. So much of what we see in the Christian media today, and to be sure, it's strange fire. You say, Pastor, how can you make a statement like that? Most of the radio stations, most of the Christian TV, it's strange fire. It's not acceptable to God. Oh, it may look just like the real thing. But listen for one certain sound in all they're doing. Where is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross in it? I want you to think. The Holy Spirit wants you to think this morning. That's how multiplied millions of people are going to be deceived in this last day. Because they love the fire that man can produce more than they love God's fire. They love the idea of being able to create something of their own making and their own idea and offer it up as praise and worship unto God. And God's answer to that is, I won't anoint it. I won't put my holy finger on it. But there's going to be people, and God's raising them up. And I'd like to think this little body is a church that is one of those churches. The Holy Spirit's going to raise them up. And they're not going to be as pretty, and they're not going to be as polished as some of the other portions of the church. But they're going to have an unmistakable sound in their worship and in their lives. And that's going to be Christ and him crucified, which allows the Holy Spirit to really flow. God will anoint and touch those people, and he'll get his work done. To be in step with the world, the great A.W. Tozer said, is to be out of step with God. And to be in step with God is to be out of step with the world. I want to make sure above all things we have God's presence in this church. I never want to do anything, and I've made people mad at me, and I've had them call me a church boss, and I've had them call me everything in the world. But I tell you this, if anybody's doing anything that is offending the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear about it from me, and you're going to be told to quit it. And let me tell you something. If you don't have that kind of heart for God, where you really want to live to please Him, and you really want to follow the dictates of His Word, go find you another church. You'll be a lot happier and get out of our way. And let us go on and worship God. We're not interested in numbers. We're interested in pleasing Him in this church. And if it makes you mad or if it makes you glad, tough. We're going to follow Him as long as I'm pastor anyway. And if you're up here doing some Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, that's right. She can't even sing. And you're wanting to bring the world into this church. I'm sorry. We're going to love you. We're going to throw our arms around you. But we're also going to put our finger under your nose and tell you that's strange fire. We need and want God's presence in this church. We need the Holy Ghost flowing through us all the time. And if our faith is in Christ and Him crucified exclusively, that will happen. But that's what we need. More than anything else, more than talent, more than festival programs, we need the power of God in our lives. And I don't want anything in this church that'll hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost. And I know there's people that could kill me right now. I understand better than probably most of you know how people can get so mad they could kill you over worship. Because man loves what he creates. And you get some idiot, fast-talking, fat hillbilly like me come in and tell them God ain't happy with it. They just can't hardly get their mind around that. But it's so pretty. I'm so talented. I'm so wonderful. Worship me as I sing. No Jesus in it. No Jesus in it. And I'm not really being mean. You may think I am. I'm not. You want me to be this way. If I can borrow a line from Jack Nicholson, you want me to be this way. You need me to be this way. Because if it's going to hinder the whole flow of the Holy Spirit and grieve Him, we've lost everything. And that's why I'm telling you. If you don't have that kind of heart for God, where you're not hungry for truth, and you're hungry, and your desire is to really want to please Him with your life and your worship, you ain't going to be happy here in Crossway Community Church. You will never be happy here. And I'm telling you, there's thousands of them out there. And I know this really doesn't apply to nobody I'm preaching to this morning. But the Lord's told me to deliver this message several times, so I know I'm going to pray for me. I might get stoned. Really. But I will say this. God will honor and make a distinction between strange fire and holy fire. And it'll be reflected in the lives of those who are choosing God's fire over man's fire. God's fire over what the world has to offer. Church, I know it's been sobering this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit's provoked you to think. But He's driven this message home to my heart, and He said, I want you to deliver it every place you get an opportunity that I give you. Because the hour is late, spiritually speaking, Jesus is coming soon. And God wants to use churches that will dedicate themselves to Him. And as I was saying just a few moments earlier, there's one on every corner that'll give you a plan, that'll give you a program, that'll give you a show. If that's what you want, go there and get out of our way. Because we're not, if you choose to stay here, stay here. We want you. But don't think you're going to walk in here in this church and bring in your worldly gobbledygook and your strange fire and just have us sit here because you think it's Christ-likeness for us to just accept anything. Oh, it's wonderful. It's okay. You sang about Satan in your song this morning, and you borrowed music from AC/DC, and you just changed the words. We just think it's wonderful because we love Jesus. No, we're going to throw our arms around you and love you, but we're going to tell your brother you're offering up strange fire, and God's going to send his judgment on you if you don't quit it. You better get back to the cross. And if they like it or if they don't, tough. As long as I'm pastor, that's the direction we will always go. And some of you this morning, I pray for you. I love you, but I'm praying for you. Because this message has bored you to tears. And it shows how devoid you are of an understanding of the holiness and the righteousness and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's trying to make some of you think this morning. He's trying to get you out of spiritual la-la land and bring you into something that will provide your life with power and anointing. You see, man always has a choice. Nadab and Abihu willingly created their own fire with full premeditated knowledge of what they were doing. I don't think it's a case of ignorance in the modern church. I think the church is fully aware of what it's doing by kindling strange fire. But it so glorifies man, strange fire does. It so glorifies man. And man loves to be glorified. I've said it before. It'll always be this way as long as I'm pastor. I don't want to be the star of this church. I don't have the talent or the ability anyway, but if I did have it, I wouldn't want to be the star of the church. You know why? Because when man's in place of God, nobody's going to get any real help. Holy Spirit's not going to move. But when Jesus Christ is the star of the church, hallelujah, it's not the singers. Yes, give God a hand of praise. It's not the singers, it's not the pastor's oratory, it's not the blazing disco lights, it's not the twirling dancers, it's not the waving of the flags, it is Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost will move. And that's what I want. Because I want to make it to heaven. And I know I ain't going to make it without his help. I know. Now don't look at me like a bunch of doe-eyed calves. I'm closing soon. Were it not for him holding us back and restraining us, we'd do every kind of crazy thing in the world. See, that's how you tell the difference between the two fires. One will glorify Jesus. The other will glorify man. Even though when you hold them up side by side. Let me illustrate this, and I promise I'll shut up after this. It's just 10 to 12 for those of you who are on medication. We're doing all right. I'm not picking on anybody. It's just the name that's come to mind, and she used to be real big in the Christian pop world. If you were to hold up Amy Grant alongside Deb Turvey, now this is no affront, and I think Deb will understand where I'm coming from. Deb has a beautiful voice. She's a tremendous singer. But Amy's a so-called professional. Every time she sings, every note is going to be perfect. She's going to be hit in just the right way. She's going to have a fabulous band behind her. You get where I'm going? And you might think, wow, wow, wow. And what does your mind go to when you see that? It goes to that individual. It doesn't make you think about Jesus. That's strange fire. And she's offered up a plenty of it. If you're an Amy Grant fan, I don't apologize. Look where her life has gone. Look at the fruit of her life. Left her husband for another man. Was cheating on another man while she was still married. And excuses it away as the leading of the Lord so she could get with Vince Gill. That's strange fire, folks. That's strange fire. But then you look. And how it blesses me when I know Deb and her love for God. She may not have a 27-piece band behind her, And she may not sing professionally like Amy Grant, but when she stands behind that microphone and I see that hand raised in praise to God, I know what's behind that life. And I know that it's the fire of God that's flowing through her, and that blesses me. So know the difference in this last day between strange fire and holy fire. Oh, they may look just alike. One brings spiritual death, the other brings spiritual life. Make sure what you're listening to is glorifying Jesus and not man. Make sure where you're going to church, make sure Jesus is the star of it and not Rick Warren or Joel Osteen or some pastor, whoever you want to insert there. The church is in, as a whole, is in a deplorable state right now. It runs through my mind at least twice a week. Brother Swaggart's statement at a camp meeting about 6 years ago, when he said, the second coming of Christ will save man from extinction. The rapture will save the church from extinction. That's the kind of time we're living in. If he don't come back, the evil is going to grow so strong, none of us can make it. That's why he's going to have to come and take us off of this planet. Those of us that still have their faith in what he did for us at the cross. He's going to have to remove us. Or else we wouldn't make it. Now, I know that's a staggering thought, but it's true. Because the strange fire is becoming so rampant now, it's rare to walk in anywhere and find the holy fire. We can't play with fire, spiritually speaking. It's either God's fire or man's fire. And if we try to play with the fire, you know the old saying, you play with fire long enough, you're eventually going to get burnt. You take in, you may think it's harmless. Oh, yeah, I know that maybe they don't have their faith in the cross, but I love this song so, and I love this teacher so, I'm just going to keep listening to them because I know the message of the cross, and I know they're not exactly right, but I'm going to keep tuning them in. I'm going to keep listening to them. You're playing with fire. You're playing with strange fire, and you play with it long enough, it'll burn you. It'll burn you. Let me ask you this. When you can have access 24/7, 365, to the holy fire, why do you want strange fire in any capacity in your life? It's because of our sin nature. And the Holy Spirit wants to deal with folks this morning about this very issue. That's why he had me preach this, I know. Forsake the strange fire. If you know it's there and the Holy Spirit's revealing it to you, forsake that strange fire. If you don't, it's eventually going to burn you. But turn to that which is pure and holy and is accessible anytime you need it. Don't listen. Don't listen to those who kindle strange fire with their weird doctrines and their weird music and their worldly ways. I love and appreciate so much God raising up Sun Life Broadcasting Network. Thank God for them. But I'm here to tell you this, as wonderful and as much respect as I have for Brother Swaggart and his ministry, you can't put your faith in that. Yes, let the ministry of the apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists and pastors that come through that ministry, let it bless you. Let them build you in the Lord. Don't put your faith in it, though. If you get up at 3 in the morning and you think, oh, I got to turn on Sun Life Broadcasting, first you better think, I better go to Jesus Christ, and then turn on Sun Life Broadcasting. You get what I'm saying? I feel I'm not saying it very well. I feel up to this point, the Lord's helped me to do pretty good, but now I feel like I'm not saying it very well. I'm saying Jesus Christ is ultimately our answer, and it's only through faith in what he did at the cross that will allow the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now, he will use the ministries of the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, and pastor if they're preaching the right message to bless you and build you in the Lord. And praise God for Sun Life Broadcasting. God's raised it up. There's no doubt in my mind. But I don't know, honestly, of any other network that's not offering up Strange Fire. I said the networks, TBN, Daystar, you tune them in, all of it's man. All of it's man-made, man-glorified. It's a show, and it's a good show. It's a great show. But you know what? Why do we want to compete with the world? They're so much better at putting on a show than we are in the church. They are. Man, they know how to put on a good show. And the church tries to put on a good show like they do. We're not called to put on a show. We're called to preach Christ and him crucified and let the holy fire of God through the agency of the Holy Spirit reach out to people and let them see this is real. This is of God. This is not something that some Hollywood singer who's washed up now and now he's going to turn to TBN so he can come on there and sing. The other day they had a comedian on there preaching. Steve Harvey, who's one of the most vile and vulgar comedians around. And I tuned in the other night, and there he was on TBN just preaching away. And they were just loving him. Of course, he wasn't saying nothing. They thought he was. I mean, he had all the histrionics and the, you know, moves just right, you know. You know, he knew just how to bend over like this when he thought, you know, the Holy Ghost was coming on him and them just going wild. Him not preaching a thing, not saying nothing. Strange fire. Strange fire. And you might, and the tendency is for most in the church to watch something like that and think, oh, he's just excited for Jesus. No, he's not. He's putting on a show. It's strange fire, and it'll kill. Come out on Sunday morning and hear my NEP sermons. I can't match with the showmanship of Steve Harvey. Won't even try. But I know this. As inept as I may be, and as poor an orator as I may be, the heart of everything you're going to hear coming out of this fat boy is Christ and him crucified, and it'll help you. It'll help you. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord's telling me to shut up. Would you stand to your feet? We can't play with fire, church. We can't play with it. We can only believe God for his holy fire through faith in Christ and him crucified. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we come in the name of Jesus, and I sense a reverential fear and holiness in the sanctuary today. And I'm glad for that, Lord. We need to fear you. We need to know that you're an awesome God. That you're an all-powerful God, and that we as mere mortals have nothing we can offer you. We need to know that it's only by your grace that we're not burning in hell at this very hour, and that the cross of Jesus Christ and his atoning work thereon is all that stands between us and your fearful judgment. Lord, we're living in the last days. And I want this church to be used by you. I want to be used by you, Lord. And I'm praying now for the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts and minds, that we would fall so in love with you that we have a desire, that your Holy Spirit would implant in our heart a desire to want everything that's of you and to reject everything, not just some things, everything that's not of you. Lord, I know that's a tall order. But I think if we would, I know, if we would seek more of you and seek to please you more and to seek your ways more, our lives would be so much richer. So many things now that bring us pleasure that we think is fun would just fall by the wayside as we would dwell in the sweetness and a deeper level of your presence. do that kind of work in our hearts and lives, Lord Jesus. To where we fall so in love with you and your way. We don't care what man thinks if man disagrees with us. And while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I need to bring this out at this altar call. When that fire killed Nadab and Abihu, the custom was for them to be immediately buried and for a time of mourning to be had over them. You read it in the text this morning. If you want to read further in the text, you'll see it more clearly. God spoke to Moses and he said, "Do not mourn their death. Give them no honor whatsoever." Now, why would that be? Because in giving them any honor at all by mourning their death would be, in effect, number one, saying to God, "God, you were unrighteous in striking them dead." And number two, what they were doing by kindling that strange fire was not wrong. The Lord told me this as I was preparing this message this week. And he's always told me this, but he brought it to me in a deeper way. He said, "You preach what I tell you to preach. You don't worry about who it makes mad, and you don't worry about who it offends, as long as you preach it in love and you preach it as I tell you to. You don't worry about the size of your church. Worry about making me happy." And one more time, I allowed the Lord to consecrate me and sanctify me to that goal. Because it would be easy when people get offended. It's by nature, those of you who know me, I love people. I'm a people pleaser. I want to make people happy with me. I want people to like me. But I've learned that if you're going to take a real stand for Jesus and you're going to place Jesus really above everybody else in this life, just like in the case of Nadab and Abihu, sometimes when people get mad at you and they become upset with you and they want to kill you and they want to leave your church, you just got to let them go. Especially if it's over truth. Especially if it's over strange fire or holy fire. You can't mourn after them. You can't worry about them. You see, Nadab and Abihu knew better. They had watched their father. They had seen the holy fire of God fall on that brazen altar. They knew the commandment was to only take fire off of that brazen altar. My heart has been broken over the last few months as I've seen people that have been with us quite a long time who loved the message of the cross at one time forsake it. And of course, in some form or fashion, they're trying to blame me for it. My shoulders are broad in that realm. I can take that. But the Lord told me this week as I was preparing this message, they've known better. They've heard the truth. He said, "Don't cry for them anymore." He said, "Don't chase them. Don't go after them. Let them go." Because they're doing what they're doing with full knowledge of their own volition, just like Nadab and Abihu did. And if we're really going to take a stand for Jesus in this last day, that's going to happen. We might as well get ready for it. But as I look out over this crowd this morning, I know everyone here, you love Jesus. You want to please Him. Hallelujah. You want to make it to heaven. You want God's power in your life. And as an encouragement to you, and I know as I look out at some very dear friends this morning who have lost friends and family members over adhering to this message, over staying with it, with everybody calling you crazy, everybody calling you a cult, you've hung with Jesus. There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing in that in your heart to know He's happy with me. And that's really all you need to know. Because if you've got that, that means the holy fire of God is flowing through your heart and life. And that's what we need, church. Please, let's not ever do anything as a church that would take a step toward pleasing somebody because they want to bring strange fire in this church. Let's take a stand for Jesus at all costs because it's worth it. It's worth it because if we keep standing for Jesus, we may lose a lot of other things along the way. But one thing to be sure we'll have the holy fire of God flowing through our lives. will have the operation, the effective operation and movement of the Holy Spirit. And that's the one thing we can never afford to lose. Praise God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, work on us. Work on us. Heavenly Father, change our way of thinking about you. Lord, show us that living for you and giving our lives to you is not something we do to get out of going to hell. It's something we do because we realize in love you took our place. You bore our penalty. And that, Lord, true worship goes on 24 hours a day. And if the sacrifice is right, the worship will always be going up. But if we try to mix strange fire with the holy fire that can only come through Christ and Him crucified, we're going to suffer spiritual death. We'll lose the mighty presence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for your work in our hearts and lives today. I thank you for working on me, Lord, to pull me back to where I need to be. Lord, I thank you that you love us all enough to not let us go down a wrong path if we have our eyes and hearts set on you. And Lord, let us never compromise the truth of Christ and Him crucified to please any of our family, any of our friends. Help me as pastor, Lord, to never compromise that truth and to never allow any strange fire to come into this church. As much as I love people and want them to love me, Lord, more, I want your Holy Spirit in my life and in the lives of your people that you've chosen to put under my spiritual care for this time. For Lord, I know that's all we have. We have nothing else, Lord. We have no human power. We have no human might nor ability that can help us except that of your precious Holy Spirit. Teach us that truth, Lord, that nothing, no compromise, no pleasing of another person is worth losing the indwelling presence of the precious Holy Spirit. Help us not to play with spiritual fire, but help us to have a reverential honor and fear of your holy fire and your awesomeness, God, to know that you're not going to accept just any old thing we throw up as worship. You are a spirit, God, and the Word says you must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. I pray this has been a life-changing message today for all of us, and that we'll view our worship differently from this day forward. Indelibly inscribe your Word upon our hearts, Lord Jesus. And now we give you, the King of Kings, the sender of holy fire, the one who took our judgment, all praise, honor, and glory. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want your fire to fall. We don't want our fire. We want your fire to fall, Lord God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Amen and amen. Praise God. I just feel the Lord moving right now, and I want to pray for some folks before we're dismissed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to lay your hand upon Kathy, Deb Turvey's sister. That, Lord, this knot in her body would just dissipate and be nothing in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Connie Shaw today, we pray in the name of Jesus. Heal her body today, I pray, Lord Jesus. Touch Ravana's mom, Lord, and strengthen her, I pray. And to anyone right now, you have a need of physical healing, lift your hand. Lift your hand. The Lord wants to touch you right now. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for each and every one who has their hand raised, when that hand went up, they said, my faith is in you. It was in effect. Exactly like the little woman who touched the hem of your garment that day, who had the issue of blood, and Lord, you healed her. And in the name of Jesus, as these hands have gone up, they're reaching out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because He's surely passing by. Hallelujah. Let virtue go out of you today, Lord Jesus. Let virtue go out of you today, Lord Jesus, into the hearts and lives of your people who need your divine, awesome touch, and I believe you're giving it right now. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you're the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Praise the Lord. We honor you today, Lord Jesus. We lift our hands and we sing your praise, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Thank you so much for being in God's house today. I pray you've been blessed and uplifted and provoked to think some about the seriousness of worship and what it means. And I'm going to let you know that I fully trust the service on Wednesday night to Mike's hands. Mike, I know, is not very confident in and of himself, but I'm going to tell you, I've watched God use him powerfully in this realm, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed by coming out and sitting under his ministry. And Mike, I'm going to ask you, would you come dismiss us in prayer?